You want the musician? Okay, now the children will go to their respective classes.
Better? Oh, everyone can hear me? Fantastic. Okay. All right, good morning, church. Are you charged up this morning?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay. All right, this morning I just want to, pastors had actually asked me to share just a little bit about what God has sort of been showing me, but things I've probably learned in my life, God has been dealing with me. You know, just so from my life in evangelism, so the title of my message is called Growing in Stature from Small Beginnings. All right. The reason being, you know, God wants us to grow in stature. Is that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. Why is the reason why God wants us to rise in stature? Stature means is that we have that spiritual strength within us, you know, so we can really make an impact to our community, to our families, to our city, to our nation. You know, and it all starts from small beginnings. You know, speaking of small beginnings, you know, for many of you, you know, I've been in evangel for a pretty long time. So I think 26 years. I came to evangel when I was 3. You probably can figure out my age already now. So you know, I've been in evangel for a long time. And actually, just to as way of introduction, I quickly put together some pictures on one slide yesterday. So you put the next slide. There we go. All right, there we go. This is Adrian growing up in evangel. All right, look at that. Where's the pointer in this? Oh, there we go. That's Adrian over there on the left. That's me in the middle. Oh, there's Grace and Amy. Oh, there's Grace Liu over there. Top left, that was when I was at church camp. I was 12. See, Johnny, I had the same amount of hair as you at 12 years old. He doesn't have to be like this. Over there on the right, look who I'm with, Dino, yeah, all right. So, you know, I've been in evangel, again, you can go back to the first slide. Yeah, it's Dino, yeah. So I've been in evangel for a bit of a while, you know, but what's really encouraged me is that, you know, that everything that God does in our life, you know, again, it comes from the small beginnings, you know, and we've been learning, you know, from pastors that don't despise the small beginnings. Don't despise the little things that God does in your life, because if you are faithful to those little things, God is going to grow. And what's really encouraged me is that, you know, we see the kids from Malaysia, you know. When I say kids from Malaysia, it's our evangel family. Evangel Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Evangel Ipoh, Malaysia. And we see them, you know, and I see the way that they memorize scripture. And I'm just so encouraged, you know. I see the way that that pastor trains them, you know, in how to be proper in church, you know, doing chores around in Darling Downs or in the house. You know, all these things, you know, and it sort of really encouraged me. And I was telling Pastor, I said, you know, when I see Pastor, you know, instruct and train these kids, you know, it encourages me when I see them. In fact, they're coming back in March. So if you ever see them, you should encourage them and say, hey, and from a sincere heart, tell them, you know, your life really encourages me. That's going to really encourage them. It gives them hope that they can really make a difference. They can really make a difference. Amen. You know, and I was telling Pastor, it reminded me when I was growing up, you know, some of the things that Pastor is instructing and training the kids is the exact same things that they were instructing me when I was growing up. Okay, I'll give you some example, okay? So, you know, last time when I was younger, you know, when we used to pray in tongues. So what I'm going to say may actually sound very familiar. So when I used to pray in tongues, I used to go, you know, Pastor go, hey, open your mouth. You're speaking a language. A-E-I-O-U. Sound familiar? Yeah, I remember that one growing up. Pastor was teaching me that one growing up, okay? Well, other things would be like, you know, sometimes, you know, we'll be in prayer meeting, you know, and sometimes I stand and I put my hands in my pocket, you know, and I sort of slouch a little bit. Pastor go, hey, stand up straight. You're in the presence of God. If you're in front of an important person, like your boss or anything, you wouldn't be like that, you know? So your posture can reflect the condition of your heart. All right, so Pastor trained me all these little things. You know, sometimes you want to do such the great things for God, but it's the little things that, you know, that perfect us to get there. Amen? So don't despise the small beginnings. Embrace the small beginnings. Another one, you know, last time, you know, when I used to clap, I used to be like, you know, sometimes, you know, we're, praise the Lord. Amen, hallelujah. I used to do that, you know, and the pastor would say, hey, you know, we learned from Bill Johnson, golf club clap. Sometimes, you know, we give God a golf club clap. God wants us to give him praise and give him worship. Amen. You know, big, loud, big claps and everything. You know, like we would do more for someone more important. We give them bigger claps. You know, so little things like that. Again, it's just like God's working on the little bits of character, you know? So what I want to suggest to you this morning is, you know, character building. Character building. God is building our character. We talk about process, right? You know, we say no process, no progress, you know? So what I'd like to put forward to you this morning is character. God is building our character. Character counts. Say that with me. Character counts. One more time. Character counts. Another one, you know, sometimes we'll be singing, and again, I would be like mumbling, you know, like we'll be singing something like, Be Thou My Vision. Be Thou My Vision. You know, when the congregation's supposed to be singing, pastor goes, hey, sing louder. Again, like, you open your mouth, you know, when you're singing. So, you know, she get all the youth to stand in front. This is last time, okay? So you get all these to stand in front, you know, embarrassing as well. It's funny now. It wasn't funny back then. So we're standing in front, you know, pastor would make each of you sing. Come on. Be thou my, louder. Be thou my. Wow, sing until I cry, man. You know, so again, your pastor would, you know, again, all these things, again, character building, the little things. Embrace the small beginnings. Say that with me. Embrace the small beginnings. It's the small beginnings. Praise the Lord. Okay, so you know, we've been doing the Saturday classes, we've been covering a lot of the parables, okay, the parables. You know, during early on in the parables, we covered about the mustard seed. Now, the mustard seed is usually to do with the kingdom of God, but today I just want to use it from the perspective of our life, small beginnings. Can you all see that on the screen? That's the size of a mustard seed on your left-hand side. That's the size of a mustard seed. It's very small. But you know, they said that a mustard seed, when it's fully grown, can be taller than a human. Look at that. Look at that middle picture. It's taller than a man. Taller than a man. You know, and one of the things that we can learn from the life of a mustard seed is that it doesn't matter which stage you are in your walk with God. Sometimes we get discouraged and we think, okay, I need to be a mustard tree, seed tree, to be ordered to make an impact for God. But did you know, and Pastor did confirm this with me, all you moms who cook curry will know this, mustard seed gives a lot of good flavor in curry. Amen? Yeah, right, mustard seed. You know, even the smallest can be so important in how the flavor, it's like salt. Something so small as salt can make such a big impact in the flavor of food, right? And that's what God calls us to be. No matter which stage we are in life, we're meant to bring flavor to our community, to our families, to society. That is what God is really elevating evangel in this area. We're salting the community. We are really salting the community. You believe that. You see all the things that have been happening the last couple of years. You believe. Get excited what God is doing. In fact, I mean, this is a bit of a preview now, but potentially we are looking at organizing the Easter parade for City of Perth this year. All right? So get excited for whether it happens this year or next year. It's going to happen. And it's going to make an impact in our city, a coalition of churches. These conversations are happening right now. Evangel Christian Fellowship is taking the lead on that. Did you know that? Praise God for that. Praise God for that. So again, 1 to 2 millimeters, and 1 to 2 millimeters in diameter, but the flavor that the mustard seed can bring. So the life example of the mustard seed encourages us that we can make an impact for Christ. Don't despise our small beginnings. Say, embrace our small beginnings. Embrace our small beginnings. We go to the scripture in Zechariah. Next slide. Taken from the New Living Translation, it says, then another message came from the Lord. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. Then you know that the Lord of heaven's armies have sent me. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. What an encouraging scripture. Amen? What an encouraging scripture. God is so desirous to see the work begin. And again, it starts off with small beginnings. You know, for those of us, you know, this week in Life Group, we kicked off the Strengthen Yourself in the Lord. Who was really encouraged? But I was so encouraged. When our Life Group sat together and we watched it together, you could literally, my mom was saying, all of us were saying, you could literally sense the tangent presence of God in the room as we were watching. Sitting there with anticipation, listening, the presence of God was so thick in the room. My mom could testify. We could really feel it. You know, and you know, one of the things that, you know, that Bill Johnson talks about, you know, so this is so timely that the word for our church is now. You know, it's if you've been reading your devotionals, that's been coming with the notes, there's some really encouraging things in there. I'm going to read an excerpt on that. Okay, this is from devotional day one. It says, God did not bring the man David after his heart straight from the pasture to the palace. Incredibly, David did not assume the throne until 10 to 13 years after Samuel had anointed him to be king. So David, even though he had already possessed a heart for the Lord, was led into years of testing that groomed him to handle the glory and responsibility of the throne. The scriptural account of David's life is filled with lessons on the kinds of character tests we all face on the road in our destiny in God. David's response to the Lord in private would ultimately position him for public promotion. Again, amen for that. All right, so when we talk about foundation, you know, God doesn't want to put something weighty on a foundation that's not there. That's why pastors have encouraged us, build the foundation. And let me just clarify this. Foundation is not just teaching. Because we all say foundation is teaching, right? We understand. That's good. But foundation is practical. It's practical in every area, in the little things that you do, in our heart responses, in our attitudes, in the way we go about, in the way we treat each other in the body of Christ. That is foundation. How we go out to community, how we, with boldness and courage, to share, to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. That is foundation that is active. Amen? Yeah. Amen. All right. So David's response to the Lord in private would ultimately position him for public promotion. Notice how it talked about the character tests that David faced. You're going to cover that more, and you've been reading more in your devotionals in the series, and we're going to cover that in the lesson. So be excited. It's a good series, so don't try not to miss out. So embrace the small beginnings. Say that again. Embrace the small beginnings. Next one I want to say. Say, character counts. Say that with me again. Character counts. One more time. Character counts. Our character determines how much we will grow in stature. Amen. What do we talk about character? You know, Pastor Joseph, he just tied in. I didn't know who was going to say that. Our attitude. God's so much dealing with. You know, I can share this from my own life because, you know, I share all the funny stuff, that I've been learning, when I'm growing up. But, God is so dealing with my attitude as well. Even now, just to be up here, I would not have thought I would be up here. I don't think I could be up here if it wasn't for the character building imparted by pastors, my parents, all these things, and I'm still learning. Dino talks about his favorite verse. I press on towards that calling. I press on towards that prize. It's a process. God is building our character. In fact, there was a prophetic word that was released saying there will be a revival of character in the church. And so we declare that right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we declare that, Lord, you are building your church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Lord, your people, your church will rise up, Lord, in character, Lord, a mighty men of women, Father God, to be an impact in the city, Father God, where the testimony of Jesus Christ is boldly proclaimed and backed up by the testimony of our life. So we thank you. We activate that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So when men and women of God in the scripture we use in scripture, we read about the heroic stuff like David or Daniel. We covered about David right now. It wasn't an overnight process. King David wasn't an overnight process. We've been learning about Daniel in life groups, right? We see how Daniel was so brave, to go into the lion's den in Daniel chapter 6. But you know that started in Daniel chapter 1 when he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. In fact, it probably started before Daniel chapter 1, where Daniel's either his parents or his teachers, elders, instructed him in the ways of God. So it's the small beginnings. It's the character building. Amen? So character is not just spiritual training. It's everyday life. Again, for me, it's like, sometimes we think it's like, when God is building his stature, it's like very spiritual, Spiritual, like how I worship lead, how I say my prayers. Those are all good things. But it's the everyday life stuff. How I take out the trash, how I clean the toilets, how I mop the floors, clean the house, iron the clothes, all these things, hospitality, how I set up, how I vacuum, how I set up equipment, all these things reflect, Daily stuff, pastors talk about accountability, manners we have towards our elders, the way we treat one another. That's the everyday character training. That's the everyday character building. So let's go back to the mustard seed. I'm going to read three portions of scripture. They're from the Amplified version. It's up on the screen. So I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 to 32. And it says, "And he gave them another parable to consider, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And of all the seeds planted in the region, it is the smallest. But when it is grown, it is the largest of the garden herbs, and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air find shelter in the branches. And go another scripture, same thing, Mark chapter 4, verse 30 to 32. And he said, how shall we picture the kingdom of God? Or what parable should we use to illustrate and explain it? It's like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, even though it is smaller than the other seeds that are sown on the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up to become larger than all the garden herbs. And it puts out large branches so that the birds of the sky are able to make nests and live under its shade. Some of the things I take away when I look at this passage and how, again, it sort of reflects on my life too. You know, you can start out the smallest and the least, but God can cause you to grow into maturity. Don't look down at yourself. God can cause you to grow. You believe by faith. You say, God, I want more. God will cause you to grow. God will cause you to grow. So let hunger and thirst arise, even in our church. Amen? Amen. Right? So it's like Gideon in the Bible. You know, when we think about Gideon, you know, throwing the pots, blowing the trumpets and all that. But it started way before when God spoke to him. You know, Gideon, it's in Judges chapter 6, verse 5. He told the Lord, please, Lord, how am I to rescue Israel? Behold, my family is the least significant in Manasseh, and I am the youngest or smallest in my father's house. See, God was building Gideon's character. God was building Gideon's character to trust and obey him. You know, that was sort of, it's kind of like that for my life. You know, like, you know, even growing up, you know, we learn a lot about what it means to be the son of the house. But to me, honestly, when I was growing up in Evangel, a lot of the times, I didn't understand a lot of things that pastors, you know, it wasn't for me to try to understand, but it was my job to obey. It was my job to obey. And that's why pastor talks about explicit obedience. Sometimes we want to have the understanding first before the faith. And sometimes we really need to step out in faith, do is it what we've been instructed to do, and then the understanding comes later on. Am I making sense this morning? So step out in faith and obey. Sometimes when pastors or leaders, they tell us to do something, not just pastors, your life group leaders, whoever that is, they'll ask you to do something because just remember that because they're also hiring God, they can just see a little bit further than you are. So trust that God is speaking to them, you know, and that's what God had to bring me through. Sometimes I didn't understand. Sometimes I didn't even agree, but that was not my job. My job was to obey. That is what our job is to do. We obey and we follow, and then God gives us the understanding later. You know, for example, pastor told me earlier this year, Chiang, I want you to go and try to organize the Perth Easter Parade, because we saw an Isaac pastor in Sydney. He's got a fantastic testimony to do that. In my mind, my head just exploded in 8 parts, and it's very overwhelming. Very overwhelming. You know, who am I going to talk to? The churches, etc. Talking to city council. It's a stack of paperwork, you know. Probably not as bad as a community garden, Keith, but yes, it's a lot of work, and I'm just thinking, you know, but just one step at a time. Amen. One step at a time in obedience. And we're seeing it come together. And I'm talking to churches even today, and they're saying, yes, we want to be part of it. Thank you for bringing this up. It hasn't been done in the city for 2 years. But yes, we agree. God is not done with the city of Perth yet. And something is going to happen through this Easter parade. Amen? Again, whether it happens this year or next year, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. All right? So we see that in the other part of the scripture, we go back to Matthew. It says, it's smaller than the other seeds that are sown. Again, you can start off small, but if you hunger and thirst, God can accelerate your growth. And pastors have been declaring that, an acceleration of growth, you know, again, beyond the years of our understanding. And, you know, it was kind of like that for me. You know, like, even growing up, sometimes I struggled. For example, like, when we started getting on into the prophetic, you know, it took me a long time to really latch on. It took me a really, really long time, you know. But, you know, as pastor kept declaring certain things, you know, then I had to tell myself, you know, like, my job is to obey. My job is to follow. And now all these wonderful things have happened, you know, because I just chose just to follow and to latch on and to hook on. I've seen God just do just amazing things in my life as he's dealt with my heart. So let God deal with our hearts this morning. You know, if we're not latching on, if we're not hooking on to what God has for this church, just do what I did and say, cry out to God and say, God, have mercy on me. I don't understand. I may not even agree, but I want to hook on to the vision of this church and I want to follow. And then I want to see you just do as you please with my life. And then you see God slowly start to change your heart and slowly start to change your life. You know, like, for example, Dino, he got the whole concept. Brother Dino, I'm going to use him as an example a lot. You know, he got the whole concept of, you know, the principle of being a son of the house. You know, I didn't get that for a long time. I really didn't get that for a long time. You know, then God dealt with me. And one day I was in Melbourne. I was in Melbourne doing my 6 months of work in Melbourne. I was listening to a message by Bill Johnson. And he said, if you are humble enough, you will rejoice with the person who has the breakthrough. And you ask them for the impartation. I paused the message. It was like 8 o'clock at night in Melbourne. So it's 3 hours time difference. I think it was 5 o'clock. I called Dino. Dino was in the car driving home. I said, Dino, pray for me right now. Pray for me right now. Do you remember that, Dino? Yeah, you remember. So yeah, pray for me right now that I may receive an impartation, the dimension that you have of being a son of the house. And Dino prayed for me. And slowly but surely, God began to work in my heart, you know. So praise God. Hope I'm not there yet. You know, I can always say, I'm also a son of the house. Amen? Amen. And finally, in that passage, it talks about the birds. You know, the birds come. You know, it becomes a tree. They said, the birds come and they make, and it makes their nest. You know, birds represent people. Leviticus 11 talks about birds. It represents clean and unclean things. It represents all kinds of people. So the birds in the sky, you know, birds actually have some of the best vision in the animal kingdom. They can see things from afar. I'm not just talking about the eagle and all that. We can talk stuff like, you know, the smaller birds, like the pigeon or something like that. They've got really, really good sight. You know, and so when we grow in stature, when we grow in our character, we don't need to go promoting ourselves, promoting our ministry. People will see you from afar off, and they'll directly be drawn to you. You know, God sort of, and that was sort of a thing that God sort of dealt with me. You know, when I went to my workplace, you know, in my current company right now, you know, God began to open the doors. You know, again, it's not that you're promoting a ministry or anything like that. People started coming. All of a sudden, my office became a counseling room. People were coming in. They were asking for counsel and certain things in life and began to open the door for me to pray with people and ask them, do you want to receive Jesus? You know, some of them said yes, some of them said no. In fact, just a few weeks ago, one of my colleagues came to me, you know, and he was crying. He'd been through a really messy divorce. You know, was going through a rough time, but with tears in his eyes, I said, do you want to receive Jesus? He said, yes. And as of 3 weeks ago, we began our first Bible study in our workplace. Bible study in our workplace again, but it comes when, again, character building. I wouldn't be able to do that if it wasn't for the character built by pastors, by parents, by all of you, again, into my life. Sunday school teachers, the whole lot. It starts off with the small things. Embrace small beginnings. Say that. Character counts. Okay, so people from afar off can see you. Again, don't need to go out promoting yourself. So the point is, it draws people to camp and nest under your influence, just like Solomon. You know, we read about Solomon in the Bible. It said, Solomon's wisdom drew kings from afar off. It says, now all the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. That's 1 Kings 20:24. So God was building character even in Solomon. Not just through Solomon, but even through his father David. He built character in Solomon to seek the mind of Christ. All right? So let that also be in us, that we seek the mind of Christ as well. We're going to go to Luke chapter 13, our final passage. Luke chapter 13, verse 18 to 22. It says, so this, New Living Amplified Version, so this led him to say, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his own garden, and it grew, and it became a tree, and the birds of the sky found shelter and nested in its branches. I'm going to talk about the next bit just for a little bit. You know, this is one thing God has dealt with me, and I'm still learning this, hopefully for you as well. It's not a competition. It is not a competition. This is a Sunday school, this is like a Sunday school thing. This is a Sunday school question we give, and you give a Sunday school answer. Whose garden is this? Go on. Whose garden is this? What do you say in Sunday school? Jesus, all right? Jesus is the answer in everything when you do in Sunday school, all right? Whose garden is this? Jesus. This is God's garden. It's not a competition. It's about the kingdom of God. That's one thing I learned. You know, again, while we are each running our own race, we're running this together. We're together as a family, as a body of Christ. And sometimes even what I've learned is that sometimes I can develop an unhealthy competition among my own brethren, my own brothers and sisters in Christ. I can see someone growing in Christ, or they're getting favor, they're having breakthroughs, and I can become jealous. You know, and God had to deal that with me as well. Remove all jealousy. Remove all jealousy. Rejoice in another person's breakthrough. And if you're humble enough, you're going to ask them to pray for you and impart that dimension. Okay, so that was the thing. It's, we can have an unhealthy competition. We can have become territorial. You know, several years ago, when Pastor asked me, "Hey, Chiang, you know, would you like to? You know, we want you to take on some of the youth stuff." You know, all of a sudden, all these ideas started coming into my mind of how we're going to run youth ministry, and I can kind of box myself. This is youth ministry. You know, no one else. Don't cross this line. This is my ministry. You know, we can box ourselves with that. I'm worship team. I'm hospitality. I'm ushering, or I'm whatever that is. We can box ourselves. No one cross it. This is mine. It becomes territorial. Whose garden is this? Jesus's garden. We can see things from God's perspective. It means that we're doing this together. All right? So we become jealous of another person's breakthrough. So it's the same thing. You know, when I say that if we're humble enough, we'll ask the person to impart that dimension. So in a very practical sense, when Pastor Joseph is down here and is asking who wants prayer, you know, pastors have challenged us. You're going to come down and you're going to ask Pastor Joseph, impart that dimension of prayer. Oh, I so want that. So I come down, you know, pretty much almost every week. Ask God, Lord, impart that dimension of prayer into my life. And praise God, again, I'm not there, but it's slowly building. It's slowly building because the impartation and the grace that Pastor Joseph has. Again, if we're humble enough, we'll ask. Humble ourselves in front of each other. Again, we're family. This is Evangel family. Amen? Yeah. Amen. It should, in fact, but what it does is that if we see someone who's got the breakthrough, we don't say, hey, it's just that person, they're growing, that's great, that's fine. What it should really do is it should encourage us. In fact, it should inspire us to go higher even in that area. So again, when I see Ludwig or I see Dino up here, when they're sharing, expounding the Word of God, that should encourage me. Go higher in that area. Go higher. Get deeper into the Word because of the great example that they've set, or even for grace as well. All these things. Again, so we don't look at that. It doesn't become competition. Does that make sense? It should encourage us. In fact, it's not saying we don't care and we just stay as we are, but encourage us. God, I want something more. God, I want to go higher. God, I know there's more. I know there's greater things in my life. Doesn't matter how old I am. Doesn't matter how old I am. I'm going to push through until I see the breakthrough. Amen? Amen. So we're seeing things again from God's perspective. Again, it talks about, you know, the birds of the sky found shelter. So your life, when you grow in character, when you grow in stature, your life can become a shelter again, for those around. We look at the example of Samuel, 1 Samuel 17:13. So the Philistines were subdued. They did not come anymore into the territory of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. It took just one person to make a difference. One person. The whole of Israel camped under the stature, the authority, and the power that Samuel possessed to hold back the works of the enemy. It takes one person. It takes one church to make a difference in this community. It takes one person to make a difference in your neighborhood, in your family, in your workplace, your schools, whatever that is. If that's the cry of your heart, God will answer it. And God will ask you, be conscious of what I'm doing in your community, in your surroundings. Because when you are conscious, then God gives you the words to be bold. Gives you the words to be bold. I sort of forgot that for a little while. Then we went to the youth conference in Moi in September. A whole bunch of us went. And I got really encouraged, and I thought, you know, I really need to be more conscious of the surroundings. You know, I'm ready to share the gospel, but I'm not conscious about it, you know. And pastors have been encouraging us, you know, just keep your spirit conscious of what the Holy Spirit is doing. So when I went out to the workplace, when I went to Tasmania, Melbourne, and all that, for work, God just began to open doors. Taxi drivers giving their heart to the Lord. My client getting healed. You know, again, through the power of Jesus. Again, my colleague at work also coming to Christ. All these things, if we are conscious about it, God will, again, will open the doors. Amen? So the last part. Our growth is determined by how we respond. Our growth is determined by our attitude. You know, again, it comes down to our attitude. Can we put up that slide, the one, the prophetic word from Pastor Joseph? I've held this pretty... 27th of November, 2011 at midnight, Pastor Joseph got a word from the Lord. There is no limit to how much God can use a person or a group of people who can receive support, correction, praise, and persecution with the same gracious spirit, a buoyant spirit. You know, God's still teaching me a lot about that. You know, that even though, you know, we get corrected, we're getting trained in many areas, again, from pastors, parents, whoever that is, if you have that gracious spirit, a sweet spirit, you know, we always encourage, you know, we watched that session many, many years ago by Kevin Connor. He said, keep your spirit sweet. You know, we encourage, Kevin Connor just turned 90. You know, even at 90 years old, he talked about keep your spirit sweet. I'm encouraged by the life of Pastor Joseph at his age. His spirit is so sweet. I can so learn from that example. So learn from my example. So I repeat that prophetic word one last time. Sorry, Job. There is no limit to how much God can use a person or a group of people who can receive support, correction, praise, persecution with the same gracious spirit. So how are we responding? I put forward that question. I say this because that's what God put me through, still putting me through. How are we responding to our corrections from our authorities? You know, it's our attitude. And parents, you know this really well. You know, like my mom and dad, they had to put up with this. You know, when I'm growing up, you know, even, you know, maybe sometimes now, I can get in an argument, mom and dad will ask me to do something, and I can come back with a quick answer. Talk back. I can talk back at them. And I might actually even be right, but they pick up on something. My attitude stinks. Does that make sense? Something, my attitude just reeks. You know, and sometimes when pastor corrects us, how many of you know that you can be 100% right and still be wrong? Does that make sense? Does my statement make sense? You can be 100% right and still be wrong. You can say the right thing at the right time, but if your attitude is not right, there's no backing to that. It's kind of like, you know, your testimony. We talk about character. Did you know that character gives firepower to your testimony? I say this from someone, you know, in the workplace. And we used to work, and we used to have Christians in the workplace. And sometimes, you know, if you're a lazy worker at your workplace, you gotta, if your attitude stinks at work, I say this for myself, you know, your boss picks that up, you know? And if you try to get all moraled up and tell the boss, oh, I stand for this, don't swear in front of me, don't do this, don't do that, you know, I don't work Sundays, and I mean, definitely don't work Sundays, but I'm saying, like, don't, all these things, we try to give all this morality. And the boss, why should I listen to you? You're a lazy worker, and your attitude stinks. I'm saying this for myself. Does that make sense? Say, character counts. Character counts. Character gives firepower to your testimony. So it's because of character that, you know, that we're able to make an impact in our community for Jesus. We make an impact in the SJ Shire. You know, even though there's things we don't agree, but when we talk to the counselors, we look them in the eye and say, sir, have a good day. Sir, we are praying for you. Character counts. It gives firepower. When we were at the SJ Fair, all of you, Evangel family, they saw how hardworking you were. And they say, wow, who is this church? Oh, is it that church on Masters Road? Everyone knows who we are. They saw how hardworking you were at the SJ Fair. Again, character counts. It gives firepower to your testimony. The other thing that can happen, sorry, I think I may not have covered this, is that, you know, how we respond sometimes can show because we're too familiar. You know, Ludwig has been, last few weeks before he left for Malaysia to Ipoh, has been talking about familiarity, our attitude. You know, we can become so familiar with pastors because we've known them for a long time, and we don't respect the position that God has placed them in, the calling that God has placed upon them. Did you know we can become familiar with each other? We can become familiar with each other. Let me give you an example. Again, I draw from my own life. Say, for example, like Ludwig is worship leading. Say I'm on the drums. And Ludwig saying, let's build up, let's build up. And me as the wise drummer as I am, have other ideas. I say, no, I think we should not build up. I think we should sort of smooth it out and plateau it, right? Because I know drums, right? Not really, but I know drums. That's what I'm telling myself. Ludwig's saying, build. But I'm not following his instruction because, hey, I excuse myself. You know what? I know Ludwig very well. You know, I knew him from back in our McDonald's days. You know, I know his likes and dislikes, all these things. I can reason that in my mind. I can become familiar. I don't recognize that God has placed Ludwig as the worship leader, and there's that role, there's that assignment. I need to respect that. Well, say, for example, in life group. Say I attend a life group where Grace teaches, my parents' house. Grace teaches, you know? Grace can say something, and I can just take it lightly, and I can say, you know what? I've known Grace for a really, really, really long time. I've known her since back in Malaysia. You know, we've grown up together. I know her likes and dislikes, all these things. I know what she means. I know what angle she's getting at. I can take it lightly, and I don't recognize the position that God has placed her as life group leader. Am I making sense? Again, all these things, again, it comes down, again, to our attitude. And God forbid, next time we have one of our evangel children, we say we're raising up the next generation, right? We have the evangel children, whether from Malaysia, Ipoh, Kuala Lumpur, in Perth, they come up here and they pray. And they pray. And we don't support them. We don't say amen. We don't say hallelujah. We don't support them when they're praying, because they're praying earnestly, because we say, you know what? You know, for me, I can say, you know what? I've known them since Sunday school. I've known them since growing up. I can take them lightly. So when they come here and they preach the word, oh, it's so cute. It's so cute. It's so funny. It's so cute. Praise the Lord. That's very encouraging. Very encouraging. Then they start speaking things that start challenging our life. They start appearing here more often and challenging things in our life that we're not comfortable with. We can put them off course. What do they know? What do they know? God forbid that I do that. God forbid that I do that. That when they stand here, I recognize that there's a grace upon them, and that whatever comes out of their mouth, I want to receive. If we have that attitude, there's no limit to what God can do in your life. There is no limit what God does in your life. Say, embrace the small beginnings. Character counts. So how are we responding through the seasons God is bringing us through? And are we doing this in faith? You know, in the end of the day, we can try and try and try, but if we can't see it through the eyes of faith, God, even though I don't understand, I'm still going to obey, I'm still going to follow, I don't get it, I may even disagree, God can just begin opening up the doors of your life. God can also begin changing your heart, and I know that because I've experienced it myself as God is slowly changing my heart. So in conclusion, say it again, embrace the small beginnings. Character counts. So don't discount where you're at right now, and be encouraged, even in every area, whether your life is as small as a mustard seed or whether you think you're a tree, your life was meant to make an impact for Christ. It doesn't matter how young you are, it doesn't matter how old you are. If that's your desire, God will answer that prayer. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I activate right now, Lord, a hunger and thirst, Father God, to pursue the things of the kingdom right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that Evangel Family is known as a people of character, Father God, a people of strong character, godly character, Lord, a people, Lord, that embrace the correction, Father God, not just for correction because it leads us to our destiny, Lord. So I thank you, Father God, as you're molding, you're shaping us, Father God. We say, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in our hearts, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. We declare this right now in the name of Jesus. We pray, amen.
This is my desire. While they are setting, I want to just say, God is speaking to you and to me.